Hi, my beautiful bestie. How are we doing today?
Hello, Melissa Rose. I am doing okay today. I feel like that, you know, Fruit Ninja, I've brought this up before, where just things get thrown at you. And you're like, how many times can I slice the incoming fruits and vegetables coming at me?
Literally.
It's insane.
What's going on?
I mean, what's not going on is the question, right? Like frozen pipes, maybe. But like you too, you threw out your back.
I did.
Like,
I did.
It's been a lot.
How what else, are you, though? How's... What else? No, like you. Let's not punt it to me because then I'm going to go on a tangent. So what is going on with you today, this week, this month, this year?
I think it's just like the condensed action in like a small amount of time that can just throw you off for like the rest of your day. So to make it concrete, like before 9 a.m., I feel like I lived 10 lives because you get everyone's shoes on, you start the car early, you get the gloves on, you realize your little guy pooped, so you got to change him, and then your older guy's got to poop, and then there's poop. There's just, I knew there was going to be so much poop in motherhood, but like, there's so much poop.
There's so much.
all the time. And you just, it's such a test of your flexibility, truly, all the time. Like, and you have to have a good attitude about it, but it's exhausting, all of the set shifting and navigating and, again, fruit ninjing in just like a 10-minute window.
100%. And that's just, again, 1/100th of your day.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's mentally and physically exhausting. And then you add in the extra things, as you mentioned, like your pipes freezing.
Right. Right. And like the ice on the driveway. And don't forget to put out the rock salt. And then... I don't know about you guys, but I feel like the coats, like you can't put your child in the car seat with a coat. So then the transition of like getting out of the car with your coat and the hats, it's just like, it's not that it's supposed to be a pretty experience, but like everything is falling and it just is such a chaotic performance.
Yes.
Every day.
Winter definitely adds a layer, no pun intended, but it does, right? Like versus summer, spring, even fall months, like there's just less layers and less things that you need to make sure are in the bag to get in and out, or yes, even just like going outside. My daughter will want to like be at the back door and the dogs go out and it's like having to explain like there's snow on the ground. It's like you can't go out in, we call it her house coat because it looks like a 19. It's a sleep sack, but like your little, her little feet come out. And
house coat.
It reminds me of like Mad Men, like what Bretty Draper would be wearing, like having coffee. So we're like, you can't go outside in your house coat. Like you don't have shoes on, there's snow. But like in the summer, I'd be like, sure, go.
Yeah.
Why not? Go step outside in your house coat. Why not? Bring your coffee with you, Betty.
That's hysterical. Yeah, there's just, there's so many things. And then it's like, okay, I guess I'm committed to having a conversation and telling you why you can't go out in your house coat right now. Like, it's just another thing. And I'm not complaining. I'm just making the invisible acts of the fruit ninjaing process visible. That is my goal.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a very important distinction to make with complaining, and I don't know what the other side is, but just talking about what's going on and the reality of life and the reality of your experience that day or whatever's going on. And I think we quickly have to rationalize, like, I'm not complaining, and not that you just did that, but like,
no, I did, I fully did.
Or like on our story yesterday about my back, right? Okay, like it doesn't make me any less resilient or any less flexible to also be disappointed about something or also be unhappy about an unexpected change of plans.
Two truths.
Period.
Yeah. I don't know why our brain wants to fight it all the time or like have to say something like that. Because maybe, I guess in my own brain, like if I punt that question back, is it like, I never want to think that I'm not grateful. Like, I am.
Right.
And there are hard moments. Like, right. And I have to think about, I can't open the garage if the kids are not buckled in their seat, because then they're going to run outside and then they're going to fall. And it's just like the snowballing mental load of thinking ahead of time. And actually, that's very pertinent with what we're taking on today, mm-hmm.
which is...
You share it today, Melissa Rose.
Time management, which yeah. I need a 101 in this. I really do. I really, really do. And everyone else seemed to think so as well. For themselves. I mean, and me, yeah. maybe. But
we're lifelong learners. We're works in progress. And anything to make our day-to-day a little bit easier is something we subscribe to. So I'm glad everybody else is subscribing too.
Seriously. Yeah, I'm so happy about that.
But what I was sharing before about even just, again, that 5 seconds of like, I can't open the garage because then they're going to run outside, that goes along with time and space. And you can't think about time management without thinking about temporal spatial processing, or where you are within time and space. And that reframe is an important one because it helps you better manage the time that you actually have and how far into the future you can anticipate and where you are on the time horizon. So I'm excited to kind of dive deeper into all of this in just a bit.
I'm so excited because that just gave me a little goosies. I was like, oh, I'm going to learn so much today.
Lifelong learners. But first, before we do Two Truths, No Lies, I just have to tell you something quick that I've literally been dying to tell you about for probably the past week, to be honest.
Oh my God, how did you restrain?
I know. It was very, very hard. I mean, we have so much to talk about all the time.
I know.
But I That's feel easy. Like, exactly. But I feel like our space here is like a true phone call. Like if I was on the phone with you, like this is what we'd be talking about. So this is what I saved it for.
Amazing.
So you know how I told you that Ryan and I have been watching the Apple TV show? Well, we watched Bad Monkey, which I told you about.
Yes.
And did I tell you that we started another show on Apple TV, Bad Sisters?
I don't think so, but I love that. I saw the first season. I haven't done the second season. Actually, I think did you mention this on the last like 2 episodes? Whatever. I love that, the first season. I haven't picked up the second one yet.
Oh, my God. So you watched the first one.
Okay, I did.
Good.
Yeah.
Amazing. So in the second season, I'm not going to, you know, drop any spoilers, but I do want to share one particular part of it. They were at the sisters who, like, just the premise of the show, you're kind of, like, rooting for the anti-hero in it totally. All. Like, these are bad sisters. I'm not giving anything away there. It's literally the title. Mm-hmm. But you're rooting for them. Because, like, they're genuinely good people. But anyway, they're anti-hero based. And they went to, like, a horse race in person, like a bougie, you know, Kentucky Derby type of situation. And one of the horses, Melissa, was named Harry Styles.
Oh, my God.
I literally whipped out my phone, went to my MTake memo note of, like, not the shared one with you, so things are a surprise, and I just wrote it down. I couldn't wait to tell you. So this is your inspiration to watch the second season.
Inspiration to watch, but also I think that's gonna be my new word for when I'm, like, manically running around the house.
There she goes. She's out of the gates.
Harry Styles. Harry Styles is, like, manically getting ready for the pod. Harry Styles is trying to accomplish 100 things before pickup today. Harry Styles is working on time management.
Wait, it's perfect. I didn't even think about that, how amazing this is.
Perfection.
To what we're taking on.
Perfection. Oh my God, I love that.
And what was your, like, AIM profile? It wasn't your AIM profile, but, like, always present. What was it? Always late.
It was my Instagram bio for a long time. It was
not AIM, clearly.
No. It was rarely prompt, always present.
There it is. So just above that, let's add in a name, Harry Styles.
Harry Styles. Wait, I'm dead.
It's amazing. So I couldn't wait to tell you.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing.
Of course.
I can't wait to activate and engage Harry Styles.
We got to get you a shirt. Maybe we'll have to add it to the merch.
Ah, yeah, let's do it. As long as it's not copyright infringement on Bad Sisters.
True. Yeah, we're really not looking to go on Judge Judy this quarter. So Anyway.
Two truths. No lies.
You go first.
No, you go first.
Okay, I'll be quick though, because I feel like I'm going to do a lot of talking today, and you know how I feel with that.
Fine.
Okay, so yesterday we went to American Dream, where you and I went a couple of months ago with our beautiful kitties. And we went to a new place, actually. We went to Legoland at American Dream. And it's not like the Legoland that's, you know, up in New York somewhere. It's a very small version of that. Mm-hmm. But there, I feel my own anxiety around like sicknesses and norovirus has been like extra peaked recently, where, you know, we've been through it and I know that we're going to continue to go through it. But any step that I can take to try to avoid it, I'm going to do, right?
Because I want to underline, because it literally, I don't want to say ruined. What's a better word to like reframe that? But like debilitated both your Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's not just like it's cold and flu, and it would be okay if it was. It's cold and flu season. I don't want my kids to get sick and blah, blah, blah. Totally. It's like, it's going to happen. Like, you're on the rebound of being like, I've had 2 full weeks debilitated during the holidays back to back on this. And it just can't really do that again right now.
It's a lot. Like, maybe like another week of recalibrating, and then I'll feel a little sturdier to head into whatever it is, because it's going to happen. Like, it will. But the night before our trip to American Dream, my oldest was like, Mommy, I kind of feel like I'm going to throw up. And I was like, no, you don't. You sure don't. You get that. You swallow that throw up.
Yeah. Nope. I don't want to hear it.
So anyway, he turned out to be fine. And to be clear, if he threw up, obviously I would take care of him and it would be all good. But again, taking active steps to try to avoid contracting something at all costs. And so we're at Legoland, and I don't think you've been to Legoland, but I'm going to ask, have you been to Legoland?
No, I think we walked in when we were all together, and like you went into like, this is the toy museum, this is the toy museum, and like Ryan's like, we need to leave, and I was like, okay, no browsing today, everyone, we need to leave.
Yeah, we call toy stores toy museums. It's a genius. I did not take credit, but yep, that's exactly what happened. That was actually at the end of the experience of Legoland.
We were like in the gift shop, I think, exactly, of Legoland.
Yeah, it's where they like, you know, shepherd you out and then you're left to buy everything and pay $40 for a photo that they snapped of you with a fake background. But anyway, so we're in Legoland, and all this goes to say, you know, I'm like spraying the Purell and trying my best, and there was a activity center, like throwback Discovery Zone. Do you remember Discovery Zone?
Oh my God, yeah.
The best, like the balls pit, yeah. the bouncy, like the metal. I can't even describe it, but it's like a slide with like the metal spinners.
Oh my God. Oh my God, your fingers.
They hurt. They would get caught. They would get caught so bad.
Like, I don't know how that was approved, but yes, 100%.
Insane. Yeah, like
memory unlocked. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Like OG Discovery Zone. But obviously this is, you know, different times are different. And like, I'm not the biggest fan of those types of centers just in general, like in public. Again, it sparks my stranger danger anxiety. Like my best self doesn't come out. Mm-hmm. We were with my some family. I had older niece and nephew there. And my oldest was like, can we go in? And at first I was like, I'm drawing a boundary. Nope, not doing it. And then like I started to kind of spiral a little bit. I was like, oh wow, like I'm the barrier right now to like fun being had. All for what? Like, I'm right here, I can keep my eyes on them, it will be fine. So I let it go, and I'm like, you know what, go 5 minutes, go in, fine, great. And as I see my oldest playing with my nephew, who is 10, like running through this Discovery Zone center at Legoland, I'm like, you know what? Being a parent is so hard in so many ways and so beautiful in so many ways. And I was hit with the two truths, no lies. I'm like, I'm bringing this up tomorrow. You work so hard and you're allowed to lean into building them up and literally being with every poop every pee, literally from the beginning. And then you also have to work so hard more for you to let them go. And as I saw him so happy running through after I just like internally battled with myself about all the reasons why he shouldn't, you got to build them up and it's okay to feel that, right? And you have to also let them go. And this is such a small version, an example of that, but it's such a conflicting thoughts.
Oh, it's so, I mean, it's so hard. It's like probably one of the biggest two truths and lies of parenting, period.
Yeah.
And it's something you go through every single day, creating these little humans and modeling for them and hoping for the best and also wanting to protect them. And it's like that, I'm sure we've talked about it here before, but that concept of parenting is, if you're doing it, quote unquote, right, you're building a boat for them to sail away from you.
That is
the done goal, is that they're these strong, independent, resilient humans that are going to go off and be those people in the world.
Yes.
And that is really, really hard.
It's so hard.
It's really hard.
I'm like bought in. Like I am fully subscribed to that and I believe in that. And it's really, really
hard. And it's hard. And kudos to you in that moment. Not just sitting there and unspiraling in that moment, but also like recognizing, because I'm, you know, the keeper of timelines and everyone's obligations, like you've had a lot going on and you have had like your, for anyone that doesn't know Michelle personally, her January looks a lot like most people's Decembers, but her December also looks that way. She has so many holidays, festivities, birthdays. It's beautiful. It's celebrated. Capricorn season, let's go.
Spring fever, clearly.
It's a lot. And for you at like pretty much like coming towards the end of that, you, being able to like access that and cope in that moment and unspiral yourself is pretty remarkable, honestly, because I don't think I would have had the ability to do that. So good for you. And how lucky are your little boys to be able to have a mom who is able to put her things aside for a moment and prioritize them. And it sounds like it worked out just fine.
It did. It did. And thank you for saying all that. And thank you for being able to process my feelings and explain them back to me. I'm so grateful that I have you as my an additional prefrontal cortex. So thank you for that. And also being the gatekeeper of everyone's timeline. I can't. We're going to have to circle back to that another time because it's hysterical and really should be a spotlight share in and of itself. Oh, man. But thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
It's extremely relatable, as always. Sure, and I'm sure it will resonate with someone listening right now.
I hope so. I hope so. Anywho, your turn, Missy. Two truths, no lies.
I have two. I have one that's a complete departure, but kind of close to time management. And then I have one that, while you're talking about it, made me think of it.
I think I'm gonna do the departure
that's kind of time management.
Love it. Great.
So in the spirit of like TikTok being banned and coming back, I was doing a deep dive over the weekend before my fear of it being taken away from me. And I was just like kind of going through some old videos and this and that. And I found myself in this like wellness space of like skincare and morning routines. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't anyone that had children. It was the like 20s living in the city, you know, get up, do their 17-step skincare routine followed by their 18-step wellness routine followed by their 20-step get ready routine. And then off to work they go. And
it sounds amazing.
And I was sitting there and I was watching this one and this girl's, she's tying hair ties around her ears for like lymphatic drainage and then doing the gua sha and the this. And this was a saved video. So it's not the first time I'm watching it either. And I'm just sitting there like, this was me at one point. Like, this was me. 2020 Melissa was working from home 100% of the time. We were in the pandemic. I was really leaning into my skincare, my workouts, all of it. Like, that was me. And there was a part of me that was like, oh my gosh, like, I miss her, right? I miss her.
Yeah.
And how lovely to have that time to invest in yourself. And also was literally watching these like, excuse my French. There's no fucking way. There's no fucking way.
Like,
how? That is not just sustainable. Like, it's just not. Like,
just picturing you tying your ears.
Like, who has the time? Who has the time?
I don't know.
And there was a version of me that did. Also, to be fair, this was in lockdown. It was a certain period of time where I really did have endless amounts of time, despite the fact that I didn't have a child and wasn't in the phase of life that I am now. So all that goes to say, my two truths are wise. I can honor and miss and love that version of myself that it used to exist. Yes. And know that I can achieve wellness and balance and a beautiful routine at a much smaller scale.
Yes.
And that felt like real growth, right? Because there were there would have been a time in my life where I would have been watching that and being like feeling bad about the fact that I can't sustain that type of lifestyle right now and feeling like, oh, well, I'm not of the utmost wellness if I can't do these things. And to sit there and be like, wow, you go. You go,
you go,
you tie those earlobes and you know, get in your infrared sauna and you do all those things. And I love that for you. I genuinely do. And it shows your skin is glowing. And also, I don't have time for that. And I really love my like little tiny routine that I've nailed. And like, if I can, I will of the world. So for anyone, whether you're going through your old TikToks right now before it gets banned again, or just like if you find yourself in kind of a comparison mode zone and it's stealing your joy a little bit, just, you know, take a moment to recognize the things that you do. And it might not always look this way. And it might change again.
Yes. And it will probably change again. How can it not? And it's okay to miss her.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay. My gosh. It's so okay to miss her. And it's okay to love your little routine that you do now, because that's achievable and manageable for you in this phase and stage.
100%. It really actually comes back to Todd's two truths, don't lies from last week, right? Like the thriving, surviving, surviving, thriving oscillation. Because it that's what it is too, right? Like, you can look at that and say you have all the time in the world to do all these things, but even in those times I didn't feel like I had all the time in the world. I still had stress. I still had things that were pulling me in different directions. I still had trouble getting to sleep on time with everything I was balancing on my plate. I have like 75x of that now.
Yes.
And I don't feel more stressed than I did then. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually a perfect segue, Melissa, into time management and what we're taking on today. And again, just carving out space for you for a second, though, before we go there, knowing that your response to seeing that video and kind of going through your internal monologue would have been so different and kind of sent you on a different spiral. Good for you. Good for you for knowing that. So I hope you take a moment to kind of bask in that self-pride. Thanks. Because you met yourself where you are.
Yes, I did.
You did. And you compared yourself to yourself. You can miss her.
Oh, yeah.
Her being you. But knowing where you are right now. So that's a beautiful thing. So good
for
you.
Thank you.
Snaps for you.
Thanks for punting it back.
Always and forever. But time management, that this is really why we're taking it on, because it is hard. There are gaps, self-driven, but also externally. And we are lifelong learners, and we know that there are only 24 hours in a day. But why is this so hard? Do you have an answer, like an elevator pitch answer to why time management is hard for you?
That's a great question. I'm going to say what like it is, and you're going to define what this actually is.
Okay.
I get very visually stimulated mm-hmm. by things. Is that the yeah. right word? So yeah. it's sensory overload is, yeah. I think, one of the biggest ones.
Yep.
And immediate gratification. If I see something I know I can do right now in this moment, I'm going to jump to that and accomplish it. And as a result, I do not stay focused on the one task that I need to do.
Yes.
And I get pulled in way too many things. So if I tell myself I have 10 minutes to do something, I only end up using 6 of those minutes because 4 minutes I'm doing something else.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you for being vulnerable and sharing that. And again, that really frames the two prongs of this conversation here, is that like this take on time management will be to help us, obviously, mm-hmm. narcissistic empaths, but like we want to help ourselves too. And also my lens of where I typically enter when I'm talking about these things is from a child perspective and from a teacher perspective, and what we can do inside the home to help build these skills from the beginning, because one could argue if you teach it explicitly from the beginning, then it doesn't become as much of a gap later. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's the beauty of teaching and educating. But to kind of piggyback off of what you just said about the distractibility and then the instant gratification, that leads me to want to define executive functioning, which I have before in this space, but I think the way that you have to think about your executive functioning skills, it's your brain's CEO. So just some takeaways to double click on. You have to think about a task and plan backwards. So it's your brain's ability to like plan and organize and prioritize the steps of a task, but being able to do that backwards helps your system kind of stay in line and not go all over the place. Another piece of that is task executing. So you have a task and then you actually have to execute the task, which there are so many steps a part of that too. And then that third part of executive functioning before I tie in time is your ability to self-monitor. So while you're completing tasks, being able to check in with yourself and say like, how am I doing with this? Is this harder than I expected? What are some barriers in the way? And really the only thing that underlies all of that is the passage of time. So that's how it's kind of all circled together. Now, last thing that I'm going to say before I kind of want to open up and just kind of blow your mind with some statistics, time management is actually not time management. So you have to kind of reframe. It's the management of attention within the volume of time that you have been given.
Well, you already blew my mind.
So, tell me more.
No, like, duh. That actually makes so much sense.
Yeah.
As to yeah. why I have difficulty managing my time.
Yeah.
Because it's actually, say it again.
Yeah. So time management's not actually time management, right? It's a reframe to the management of attention within in the volume of time that you've been given.
Wow.
It's a powerful reframe. Powerful. It really is, though.
It's so powerful because, again, we know how visual we both are.
Yes.
But speaking for myself, when something blows my mind, I can, like, visually snapshot that in my head. And
yeah.
it really does 180 my ability to be able to like hack it for myself, because right. I can see it and be like, oh, it's not time management, it's managing my attention.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes, all right. Exactly. All right. And managing attention and managing time fits under that executive skills umbrella that I was talking about before, which is why I had to kind of define that conceptually
yeah.
before diving a little bit deeper, because executive skills and executive functioning skills become more challenging, right? Because of the spatial temporal window where you are in time and space. And as you get older, there's more to do, and then planning over greater spaces of distance and time becomes where your attention goes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really interesting to think about, right? But then you can think about it from like the development of the time horizon is a skill that actually needs to be taught. Mm-hmm. How far into the future can you anticipate? Where are you on this space-time continuum? Mm-hmm. And ready for this one, Melissa? And I just want to clarify. So I have been privileged enough to sit through many wonderful professional development opportunities by virtue of the school that I worked at in New York City and doing things on my own time. A lot of my thinking and learnings around all of this comes from an incredible speech language pathologist. I always want to give credit where credit is due. Her name is Sarah Ward, and she completely reframed the way I think about executive functioning skills and time management and language. So thank you, Sarah Ward. I take her learnings with me really into every minute of my day. But back to what I was saying before, it's important to teach about the development of the time horizon and how far you can see into the future and what skills you actually need to do that. You need to activate your visualization skills because 90% of the time, task planning happens in a different space than where you actually execute the plan.
Okay, tell me more.
So think about this. I'm going to bring it down to my kids.
Yeah.
If I'm sitting at the breakfast table with my sons and we're having breakfast and we're thinking and talking about our day, we're task planning at the table. We're not task planning where the plan is actually going to happen. So for example, after breakfast, we're going to go downstairs and we're going to play in the basement for 10 minutes and then we're going to get dressed in our clothes for the day. We're planning out that task at the table. That's a different space than where we're actually executing the plan. Mm. Okay. So because of that, people are more prompt dependent when you're in a different space to execute the plan. So even though at the table and even though every single morning we have to take our pajamas off and then first you put on your underwear and then next you put on your shirt and all of these things and we go through it, it's that conversation and that task planning is not happening in the basement where we're going to do all of that. Hmm. So you have to be able to think about where can I think about the task that I'm going to do? Maybe it's at my desk. If that's where the execution of the plan is going to happen, it might be worth your while to task plan in that same space and in that same environment.
Is there an extension of that statistic that says like you are more likely to efficiently execute that task if you are planning in that space?
That's a great
question. Or is it more just about the like being more realistic about the planning because you're visualizing, you're actually in the space that you're visualizing?
I think that.
Okay.
And yep. Also to build independence around managing your time mm-hmm. and completing tasks and managing your attention within that volume of time.
Yes.
When you picture yourself completing the task in the environment versus not picturing yourself there yes. at all.
Yes.
Or just being like, you know, what am I going to do? That's where the done goal language comes from for me. That's yeah. all Sarah Ward. Like, what does that done goal actually look like? And then, you know, at the heart of executive functioning, you have to plan backward to execute forward.
Yes. So tell me more about that. Let's yeah. see for an example, like the planning backwards to execute forward.
Yeah. So I think one example that I quickly think about, again, I put myself right into the classroom. Like you can't start with the idea of like, get ready for the test or get ready for bed. It gives like the goal of, okay, it's time to go home, but it bypasses all of the details of the situational context, right? That prioritizes planning and prioritizes managing your attention. And you don't get to mentally rehearse what you're doing. So it doesn't reinforce or activate all of those skills that I was talking about before. Mm-hmm. So you really have to picture, get ready. If someone says, get ready for bed, right? What is getting ready for bed actually look like? Where am I? What am I wearing? What's completed? And then from there, you can work backward to think about how much time is it actually going to take to do all of those things. And that's actually a really good dovetail into some of the strategies. But do you have any think abouts, or did anything percolate as I was saying that last part?
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm thinking of a few different things. So number one, I'm sure I'm not alone in, at the end of the day, especially on a day where you may not feel as productive as you had hoped, you like lay in your bed and you make your like brain dump to-do list for the next mm-hmm. day. And I think that's therapeutic in one way of just being like, get it out of your brain and look at everything you need to do. But in terms of actually planning for the next day, is it actually more efficient to be sitting at my desk at the end of the workday and making that plan then and leaving mm-hmm. that there as I look at my inbox and I look at my desk in front of me versus like 5 hours later, hopefully, laying in bed and doing it then? Also, like in practice, thinking about times where I am effective in this.
Yeah.
It's honestly usually when it's more around, you know, like kind of household stuff. Mm-hmm. So whether it's a holiday, right? And I'm entertaining, I'm sitting down, whether it's the night before or the morning of, in my kitchen mm-hmm. with everything that's around me. And I do exactly what you just said. I like, people arrive at 4 p.m. at the bottom of the paper, and I'm yep. working backwards to like, what time does the oven have to be on? And then what happens during that? And then I get myself to 9 a.m. and it's like, yep. okay, time to start.
Yep.
And even when it's less concrete, like entertaining, and more just it's Saturday and my daughter just went down for a nap, I have 2 hours and I just want to dump what I'm going to get done on a list. Like, again, I'm usually in the kitchen looking at the 12 things that I want to accomplish. And I think, thinking back, like I'm actually more realistic because I can see how many dishes are in the sink. I can see how much laundry needs to be folded. I can see that there's a lot of dog hair, so vacuuming is not going to just take 5 minutes.
Exactly. Like, you just summed everything up and made it concrete in your house because you didn't bypass the situational context and those details. And in the nerdy world, we call it working memory, but specifically the nonverbal working memory is like this mental thought bubble of what something looks like. If you're in the shower and you're thinking about it, you're visualizing it, but that's very different than you being in the kitchen and you actively saying, okay, I need this platter and this is going to be for the spring roll appetite, whatever it might be, which clearly allowed you to be more effective in planning backwards so you can execute forward and manage your attention within that volume of time.
The management of attention. Yeah,
it,
right.
Because it goes back to
we can't manage time. Time passes. Like, you can't hit pause. Like, there is no management of time. Time is concrete.
It goes. Like, it,
whether you like it or not.
That's like the one constant that I can rely on at the end of the day. Yeah. At 1:22 p.m., I can tell you with 100% certainty in 1 minute, it will be 1:23 p.m. Fact, right? And so like the other thing that goes along with that, again, nerdily saying to you, is what we call the verbal side of things, the verbal working memory. And this is where the self-directed talk really comes in, because if you have the picture of where you are, whether you're in this certain space or not, you need the language of implementation to help get you there. And that's where the language that I tell you all the time, like, if I can, I will, mm-hmm. right? It's the if-then language helps activate a plan. It helps you execute. It helps you picture. And then it helps you monitor. But again, the only thing underlying that is the passage of time. Mm-hmm. You have the implementation of the language, but if you're not holding yourself accountable to doing that at X time, then that's where you go into plan B.
Yeah. Okay.
So some concrete strategies to think about. I feel like I've dropped a few as it relates to the language of it. But I think first and foremost, this one is such a like, duh, like, why wouldn't we do that? But I think we owe it to ourselves to make it really concrete, especially as it relates to like teaching this explicitly to kids, we have to be committed to make time visible. Having a wall clock, we used to call it in the classroom a working clock, so we can constantly model the moving and passing of time. Mm. So you want to see time, you want to be able to plan time, and then you want to be able to check time. And the checking of the time, I think, is the most critical, because it goes back to the self-monitoring and the self-awareness. You can literally see how time is passing. Mm-hmm. And with that, that allows you to, you have a task, you need to execute it. You have to see time, you have to plan time. Where am I thinking of myself as I'm implementing and doing the task? And then it gives you a window into, okay, I can, and I would literally shade this on an actual clock, like in my classroom. I would take an Expo marker and I would carve out like from the 12 to the 1, if a class started, you know, at 12, there's 5 minutes. That's our, you know, we're going to check homework, or we're going to, let's make it at home. We're going to take off our shoes and get a snack. Mm-hmm. And like, I would literally write that there. And then the next 20 minutes could be marked in a different color, shade it, and do something else. So that's just the strategy of like a working clock. Mm-hmm. And it's really helpful for you to kind of gauge, was I completely off with the amount of time that I had for that task? And why? And that allows you to kind of grow from that. But it also really helps you have an implementation plan to execute.
So two questions here. I'm going to ask both.
Yeah, good.
And then you can give both answers. The first one, for children and in the home and parenting, do you have actual like analog clocks throughout? I'm trying to like picture your kitchen and stuff right now. And like, I know you have the green timer and stuff like that. But I like, do you have, and if you do from Amazon and stuff, like we can link them.
Yeah.
And then the adult question is probably a longer answer, but is this similar to blocking time on your calendar during the day, or no, because it has to physically be in front of you at all times? Mm-hmm.
Great questions. I think from a personal perspective, we have our wall clock up on the wall. I refer to it as a working clock. Oh, I see 5 minutes. I don't write on it. Mm-hmm. I expect us to be there probably in like a year, really in the heart of pre-K, like using that more than like my timer, because that allows you to actually experience the passing of time,
right?
Not just you have 5 minutes, you have 10 minutes. It's really a shift of that. We have X amount of minutes. What's our plan for that? So that's like the shift of it.
Whereas the Google timer right now is more of just like, it's preparing them for the end of something, right?
Exactly.
We're setting a timer. This is my warning to you that you have 5 minutes. And when that goes off, this activity's ending.
Right.
Whereas what you're referring to now is actually, it's completely different strategy for a completely different set of skills, which is planning for time.
You're planning for time and you're being very intentional about creating time and space markers.
Mm. Okay.
So you're orienting yourself on that time and space continuum, and you're able to see how much time you have, what's my plan, and being very intentional about that. And exactly what you said, the Google timer is more of like, this is our pause point or our stopping point. And I'll get to that one in a second. I think the second part of your question as it relates to it being very similar to the Google calendar, 100%. And that's like the way that you see time. If you are in the zone where you're like, even if I blocked off 12 to 1 on my calendar to do X task, this working clock visualization strategy is a way to get even more granular with holding yourself accountable to how you are going to manage your attention during that 1 hour volume of time. Mm-hmm. And it's saying from 12 to 12:15, I'm going to work on X. Then from 12 to 12:30, I'm going to work on something else. And then I'm going to have the second half of that half an hour to do whatever it might be. And you literally shade and write what it is on the clock.
Okay. Very, very cool.
Very cool. So again, it's just looking at a very intentional way of creating time and space markers. Something that you said before that I just want to also double click on is a really good language shift to replace the word stop with pause. Mm. This completely changed the way that I think. And also, just from a child's perspective, it's really hard to stop something. We know that. We talk about how hard transitions are all the time. If they hear stop, even if you, like if you hear stop and you're not A, ready to stop, or B, you haven't come to a good stopping point, you're clicking pause. You're not stopping. You're saying, I'm going to pause this. This is a really good pause point. And then we'll come back to it whenever, you know, at another time that you can. This reduces anxiety significantly with kids, also like with myself, because you feel like, okay, I'm coming down to that time, not a 5 to 10 minute warning. I've already planned out how I'm going to use the next 5 to 10 minutes before my pause point. And then I know that I need to shift to a different task. Mm-hmm. So that language shift from not saying stop to saying pause is a really big one.
I can feel that physically when you, the difference, like I'm putting for like myself there first and thinking about having my lunch break set aside for editing the podcast. And like, if I'm not done or where I thought I would be by 1 o'clock and I'm stopping, it's like, oh, I didn't finish.
Yes.
But you're pausing just indicate, okay, we're gonna put this on a shelf until, which is very visually how I picture you doing things all the time. Mm-hmm. So this makes it very visible. Totally.
Yeah. And I, you know that I always say that, like, oh, it's going on the shelf and I will get to that shelf a little bit later.
Yes.
And I think even like carving out another crevice of space in between that, right, is the importance of time markers for a midpoint check-in. And that can be added to the working clock, right? So if you know you have 12 to 1 blocked off, at the midway point, what are you asking yourself? How can you build the metacognitive questions of like, how am I doing? Is this easier than I thought it was going to be? Is it harder? Did I expect to be a little bit farther along at this midway point? What's distracting me? And if you know if something is distracting you, identify it, remove it, and then replan for the second half of your time. Do I need to change my pace? Do I need to change my done goal for this time, right? And that allows you to then know your plan for the second part of that half an hour, reshift as you need, and then you find yourself more at ease with saying, okay, this is my realistic pause point for now, and I've done all I could do within that given period of time.
Wow, I love those questions. I'm going to have you put those down to paper.
Yes.
I think that's so incredibly helpful. One thing that I find myself, because spoiler alert, I really wanted this episode today because this is something that's a huge, huge, like probably number one, if not, you know, number two or three on my list of things I'm working on this year. And one thing that I've found helpful once I've become really aware of it is, does this need to be done right now to get me to the next point? So for example, what needs to happen for us to get on and record? I have to set up my microphone. I have to set up the ring light. I have to do all those things. What I would like to do is like have mascara on, like my hair be done, you know, those things. Great. What I do is I'll go straight to the hair and the makeup and the this and the that. And then it's like, oh my gosh, I have 3 minutes to set everything up. How did I get here?
Yeah.
Well, what has to be done for do that first.
Yeah.
Do that part first. And then so I'm wondering, like, in this construct, is that a question? Is that me, you know, kind of assessing my midpoint or assessing how I get things done? Like, break that down for me.
Yeah, it is. I mean, again, like you're able to ask those questions, right? Mm-hmm. And put into very clear categories, like what can wait, what can't wait. Yeah. And honestly, I feel like I go through life seeing everything like that helps my brain prioritize. And another thing that I want to spend some time talking about is like, what are time robbers versus time savers? And that also fits under that category. But to punt back to you in this specific context, what does your done goal picture look like before we record, right? Mm-hmm. And that's like a picture of Mel with mascara on, looking exactly how, like literally taking a picture of it. Mm-hmm. And then working backward from that, that allows you to manage the task, manage the attention. You know, leading up to hitting record, the camera needs to be on, the mic needs to be on. What's your plan to match this picture? Mm. And maybe that means, and I know you have usually late Monday nights, right? But because you're getting our episode up and out, but maybe that
Or I could
means...
do a better job managing my attention the 7 days prior, and I don't need to do that, but go on.
You see the domino effect, right? You see where I'm getting at, but to work backwards, if there's mascara on in that done goal and your hair is done in that done goal picture, a part of your plan to get to that picture is, okay, I'm going to wake up at X time, put my face on, put the mascara on, get my clothes on. So all of that is already out of the way, right? So you see where I'm going with this, but to really picture and then work backward from there, that allows you to check in midpoint, wait, I'm not sticking to the plan. I might need to change a little bit and identify, remove, and replan.
Beautiful.
Really cool. So I think with some big things where I pictured this episode kind of landing as it relates to like us thinking about what are time robbers and time savers, both internally and externally. I think that is a beautiful way for really all of this to kind of come together, because it allows us to then do all of these things a little bit more crisply, because the only thing that underlies all of this thinking and processing is really the passing of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just is. So I feel like that is a really beautiful place to for us to share if we have, you know, specific time robbers and specific time savers, both internally, like in our minds, and externally, because then again, you got to identify them. You have to know where they're coming from, the causes of all of that. And then that allows you to lean into a more implementation plan to either remove those or replan as you need. So do you have any specifics that you could think of?
Yeah. I mean, obviously the things I mentioned at the beginning, I just think like chemically, like I just get very visually drawn to things and the immediate gratification of it all. But like concretely, I'd love like your input on how to manage this. But the nature of my job makes it really, really hard for me to manage this during the day. So I am an executive assistant, and my job is to essentially like field requests constantly. So while I could have the best intentions of I'm going to get these, and I'm not talking about, I want to be clear about like doing things outside my job during the day. Like I'm talking about, I have a plan for my job for that day. I am going to accomplish these tasks today for this job that have been weighing on me because I haven't had time to do them. And something more time sensitive comes in that I have to deal with at that point in time.
Yeah.
And again, the nature of my job is I can't really say like, I don't have time to handle this client request, or I don't have time to dig into something that's time sensitive. Like I have to do that. So what that looks like is this perpetuating cycle of me leaning in to those, was it time robbers?
Time robbers, yeah.
Time robbers, like 40 to 50 hours a week. And it's really hard to then turn your brain off to that.
Yeah.
But in your personal time, when like you function, that's just how I get my job done. And I know there are things literally every single year I write on my self-assessment that I am going to, this is the year I'm going to be better with that. And I never am. I like truly never am, because I haven't figured out how to not. And quite honestly, I get praised for the things that I am prioritizing over that. You know what I mean? So it's also like,
you're doing your job.
I'm doing like, my job. So
yeah, that's hearing you say what you just said, like you actually defined what your priority is in your job and in your role. So in so many ways, like that's what you're prioritizing, because that's what you have to. And you've been praised for that.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it becomes more of a window into maybe some of the independent tasks that you're expected to do and the when you're expected to do that, and then like zooming really granularly into what that period of time looks like. Yeah. And if you can resist those priority distractions just in that zoomed in period of time, is that reasonable?
Yeah.
And then have this self-awareness, or a building self-awareness, because again, you've worked really, really hard to prioritize this year, mm-hmm. with your systems and with knowing, you know, time gaps and having all of these amazing goals surrounding you. But this awareness of estimated time versus how long it actually took you. That's a big one.
It's a big false confidence. It's a
I have a reframe to that.
Let's go.
It's not false confidence. Well, if you feel that it's false confidence,
that's
I'm not
fine.
Gonna talk
yeah.
you out of
no,
that.
No, no,
right?
no, no. Yeah. It's a but term I heard that I resonated with, but I would love a reframe.
I feel like it's a can-do attitude.
Yeah.
It's a can-do, I want to do. It's an I want to do, but can I do that right now? Do I have bandwidth to? Because even with you and me, like, you want to do it. You want to do it because, like, you know you're going to do it and it's going to be done in the way that you want it to be. And that's a beautiful thing about you. And, right, knowing, mm-hmm. like, you do have the confidence to say yes. Mm-hmm. And is that realistic within, like, the given time that you have? Mm-hmm. And then within the given time that you have, how long is one or two tasks? How long is that actually going to take you?
Yeah.
Versus how long you thought it was going to take you.
100%. And even like in you saying this, like the reason why these things build up that I'm referring to, these tasks, is because I am leaning into the immediate gratification of the urgent time sensitive thing. So these small tasks become really, really big. And then I do need a day to sit down and do them, which is not going to happen. But if I'm better at managing like the reality of how long these take, if once I'm on top of them. So taking 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there, I'm going to pause here.
Yep.
But not waiting for a time when I have 16 hours to get caught up on something, because that simply won't happen.
It won't happen. And you're going to, that cycle will perpetuate.
Which it has for the last 8 years.
Right.
Sorry. My apologies.
Warmest regards, Melissa Rose.
And this is why we're here.
But I do think those metacognitive questions, though, big task, like big picture, but then zooming in task, smaller picture, can really help. I used to like put them on a post-it note, and maybe that's a really good place to start, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to be overwhelmed by like, oh my gosh, I've been in this cycle for 8 years or 10 years. This is who I am. Yes, but these are little tangible thinking twists that we can implement and say, okay, maybe this could help me figure out a way to make it maybe 10 hours worth of digging out instead of 16 hours worth of digging out.
Wow. Do you have any concrete ones that you could share? Because I'm sure they'll blow my mind and be really helpful.
No, I think just adding on to, you know, what you said before, and we've talked about this a lot, like the visual stimuli I get distracted by. And I feel like I kind of go through life like thinking like, oh, those birthday cards, I have to file them away. I have to put them into, you know, their respective boxes. I'm looking at them literally right now. It took me a week to pull out the boxes, but now the boxes are out. And I literally put a post-it note that says, that can wait. That's robbing my time. That's robbing my time right now.
Yeah, it's like a visual blocker. Like when you go to get stressed about it, visually you read that and you're like,
it can wait.
Beta blocker for your...
I don't, yeah, exactly. I don't have the volume of time to manage my attention here. I do have the volume of time to take the card box out and put it on my dresser. So that's what I did. And then when I have 5 more minutes, maybe I'm on the phone with someone, chatting, catching up about something with work, I can do that task, right? Mm-hmm. But I started it and I have the done goal of all of the cards being filed away in 2025 file, and I'll get to that. But for now, literally there's a post-it, it can wait. And sometimes you just need multiple of those sitting on your desk to put on physical things as you're walking through your life.
Wow. I love that. Yeah, period.
I can wait. Time. I'm identifying the time robber, and then I'm identifying maybe another time where it could be a time saver for me because of I know where the cause is coming from, and I have a different plan.
One of my like favorite old school movies I had on DVD, so I would just watch it when I was sick, is Empire Records. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Never even heard of it.
It's kind of like a cult classic type movie. We'll watch it one night. But
I hear Ryan be like, Michelle, are you kidding? Like, really don't know that?
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, it's not super pop culture-y. Like, okay. No. It's definitely whatever. And it's from the 90s. Liv Tyler's in it. She plays this like super, you know, motivated, going to Ivy League school girly. And I'll literally never, it's always, I think about it weekly, where she goes, there's 24 usable hours in a day. When her friend asks, like, when did you get the time to make these cupcakes for Rex Manning? Blah, blah, blah. So I think about it all the time because the version of me that wants to efficiently manage my time or my attention wants to be Liv Tyler. Like, I want to be running out with the cupcakes and everything's perfect and there's 24 usable hours in a day and I did it. But then the other part of me knows, true truths and lies, that like that's not a reality. And at the end of the spoiler alert, like, it wasn't healthy what she was doing, right? So I, of course, blacked that part out and I just want to be like her little bouncy cute self coming out in the beginning of the movie. But point is, leaning into the idea of like, I can utilize every single moment of my day so efficiently, like, it's not serving me.
No.
And it's causing these cycles of like, yeah, shame and guilt, and I didn't effectively. So rather than being realistic of like, and I need you to repeat this, but you always say, do I want to be doing this later? What is the thing that you say? Or I don't want to do this later, so I want to do it now. About it's like
a gift to future self.
A gift to future. Exactly.
Yeah. It's a gift. Yeah. And you picture it that way.
Exactly. And be like, yeah, are there 24 usable hours in a day? No, there's like probably 18 on some days. And like, but I don't want to be using the hours of 10 to midnight to catch up on things at work because I didn't efficiently manage my time.
Right.
My attention.
Yes. Both. Mm-hmm. They go hand in hand, right? And as you said, the language of in your head sits with all of the action that comes on the other side of it. So that's really why we need like these implementation intentions to go with that. Like, I am going to. When I sit down at 2 o'clock, my plan is blah, 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 right? Like, the verbal has to go along with the self-talk to implement.
Well, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the EdTech podcast.
It's a pleasure to be here in this unicorn space. Harry Styles, wow.
This has actually been so incredibly helpful. And for anyone that's listening, that this stuff is resonating with, like, I really feel that it's so important for everyone to understand that Michelle is the best at this. As one of her besties, as her business bestie, like, I can sit here and say that, like, you inspire me every single day to be better with this because I see you do it so effectively and so efficiently. And
I try.
You could be friends or family with Michelle and like think you know that and like work with it, but like the way in which, by virtue of this space and us like partnering together on this, is something that really does require a lot of these skills. I have, I think, a unique window, probably like Ryan and myself, a unique window into like how you effectively do this. So truly, everyone, save this episode and then like go listen back after listening to me say that, because this is not, she really is an expert at this.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you saying that. And listen, we're lifelong learners. It's all a balance. Ryan keeps me so humble to make sure that I'm not like overly insane with my rigid timing and we don't have to get to places an hour beforehand. So thanks, Ryan. Appreciate you. Love you so much.
And I know
it's all a balance.
It's all a balance. We're at our hard stop time right now. I know that. So we have to jump. I also know that I have to say, I have this image of you at the bottom of the stairs for your little one's birthday. party and you're like standing between both zones and you're like, so the cake, if we said 11 or like whatever time it was, and Ryan's like, I think it can wait a couple minutes, and you're like, I think it can wait a couple minutes, I think so, as she like takes a deep breath and the hairs on the back of her neck stand up.
I'm
like sitting behind the play kitchen watching. I'm like, there she goes. There she goes.
And there's Mel's uncanny ability to read every crevice of a room.
You don't think I'm listening, I am.
And she inherits everything. She's the gatekeeper of your time and attention management. And this is the year of hers.
Literally. Well, oh, I love you so love much. You. Thank you for this. I can't wait to implement everything. You all know where to find us at the MTake. Let us know what you're taking on and we will be sure to do it for you. And that's all we got for you today. We got to go. It's time.
I'm picturing myself in the car going to get my son right now. So
in 3 seconds. Okay. Love you so much. Talk to you
soon. Love you. Toodles.
Bye. Love you.